So we've got former NHLer, co-host of the Wally and Mathot show on the line right now, Mark Mathot. The Leafs play the Senators tonight, so a lot to pack here, to unpack here. Are you excited for the home opener for the Sens?
I am, Julia, and thank you for having me on today. I'm pumped.
Yeah, so obviously the breaking news in Ottawa Senators land, Brady Tkachuk locked up for 7 years. He's not expected to play tonight, but how important was it for the Sens to lock him up long term?
The obvious answer is this is huge.
Yeah.
And coming on today, like, this news just broke, right?
Yeah. So
all I could think was, okay, they're going to ask me about Brady, and I have nothing new or anything to contribute of any value whatsoever. But no, this is huge. And the city here is buzzing. Obviously, on a scale compared to Toronto, isn't really comparable. But in Sens land, in Ottawa right now, people are incredibly happy. I think what he brings to this community is huge. And I know a lot of people are going to start analyzing the deal, right? We're going to start looking at the numbers. It's 7 years, 57.5, AAV of 8.2. So some people are already trying to analyze it, and they're saying, well, you know, it's a slight overpay. But the way I look at it, it's pretty simple. This player, like, to me, first of all, it's fine. But this player brings people into the building. And not only that,
definitely,
he's such an exciting player. He gets them out of their seats. He does everything. So, you know, to overpay slightly your potential captain moving forward, I can only assume they're going to be anointing him captain here at some point over the next little while. To me, it's a no-brainer. It's a huge signing. And you got to give credit to General Manager Pierre Dorion for getting it done. He was starting to get a little bit of criticism. I know the organization was starting to face a little bit of criticism, but finally, in the end, it's good news all around, and the fan base is incredibly happy about it.
Well, Mark, like, how long do you think it'll take for him to get up to speed and get ready? Not expected to play tonight, so, like, how long typically does it take, like, players such as yourself to get going for in-season action?
Yeah, it's a good question. We had this discussion a couple days ago, and we're trying to analyze, potentially assuming he does sign here right before the first game. We did not think it would happen on game day. I would have liked to have happened over Thanksgiving weekend, but in any case, it takes time, and that's a situation where it certainly is subjective. Everyone's got a different opinion on it, but from my experiences playing, I mean, if you miss an entire training camp, boy, you're behind the eight ball. Like, you just are, and that's going to take you at least, I want to say, several weeks of, like, hard conditioning, getting in reps with your line mates, getting into practice, and getting in a game-like situations with all the systems work that they have to do. I mean, he missed everything. He missed fitness testing. He missed the medicals, the physicals, you name it. Like, all that stuff is very important. So, again, it's going to take a while, and I think as a fan base as a whole here, people are going to have to be a little bit patient because you can't just throw him into the fire. He can potentially get injured.
Yeah.
A lot of different things can happen. All kinds of variables are going to be coming his way now. So, I'm sure he's hungry to get back in there, but it's got to be done the proper way.
Former NHLer Mark Mathot on the phone right now. Leafs Sens tonight on TSN4, Mark. Before we get into tonight's game, we were looking at your Twitter. You got a really strong Twitter game, by the way. I saw you punch a mascot today. Really good stuff. How awkward are player intros? Like, you tweeted about them last night, and I was at the Leafs game last night watching the awkwardness unfold. Totally taking note of who is getting more cheers than everybody else. Like, how awkward is that for a player? Is that the worst part of opening night?
It is. And some people misinterpreted my tweet with regards to, they just assumed I associated it with, like, every other game where you have a quick five-men announcement followed by an anthem. But I was referring to game night, as you guys just discussed here, with opening night.
Yeah.
It's just, I find it's so long and drawn out, and you have, player by player, and it's kind of awkward, and not every player gets the same applause. And you almost feel bad for the fans because they're forced to stand up and clap. Like, you get the token clap for each player.
It's long. You're cramping by the end of it.
And as a former player, and you guys have watched enough, I'm sure, as well, that you just kind of, it's almost kind of cringy when you're watching it from the TV.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, like, okay, like, we know who the players are. I get it. And then from a player's point of view, your legs are cramped up. Like, there's so much standing around that when the puck drops, you're like, oh boy, like, I gotta find my legs now for the first 10 minutes. And you saw that with the Maple Leafs in the game. I thought they came out really slow, and not to get into a huge analysis of the game, because of course they won, and that's all that matters. But they came out really sloppy, and I'm not saying that's attributed to the theatrics pregame, but that definitely has a play in it.
Well, coming into tonight, Leafs Sens, obviously, it's going to be a big game for Ottawa since they're awaiting the Leafs coming in. It's their home opener, and Leafs fans know, like, never do underestimate the Sens. They always seem to come ready to play the Leafs. What is it about Ottawa that consistently gives Toronto fits?
That's a tough one because I feel like Toronto's light years ahead right now as far as where they're at, you know, with their development, and they're obviously in a win-now mode. So to assume that Ottawa's going to take this game, even I predicted it earlier this morning. We're going to have a segment coming out later where I'm predicting Ottawa to win, but I only because, and I don't want anyone to get mad at me over there listening.
I'm only
saying this because Toronto's on their back-to-back. From my personal experience, if you're playing 20-plus minutes a night and, you know, on the first game, and then you're flying to another city overnight, your legs feel that the next day. Fatigue is a real thing. Now, having said that, I like how Sheldon Keefe managed his lines yesterday. I watched the whole game. I paid attention to the time on ice. I think there was only one guy. I don't even have it in front of me right now. I'm not that organized. But there was only one player, I believe, over 21 minutes played. And I think it was like Muzzin or one of the defensemen.
Riley played like 23. Outside of that, everyone else played 20 minutes.
So having said that, I mean, I think they're going to be relatively well-rested. And no Austin Matthews, but that's an opportunity. We saw yesterday a player like Nylander. There's always guys that are willing to step up, and they did just that. So, again, they're in a really good position. I have them doing pretty well this year. I really do think that they've got a good team, and there's a lot to learn off and build off of from last season and the disappointment that followed. And I guess everyone's just kind of wanting to fast forward to April now and see how they do in the postseason. But as we've heard all the other insiders mention, it's a long road to get there, and you have to get there by winning games. So, you know, the pressure's on them for sure. There's no question that they can, you know, downplay it as much as they'd like. But I think we all know the truth. There's a lot of pressure on this Leafs team right now, and I have them coming second behind Tampa right now out of this conference, and or at least out of the Atlantic. And they have a really good opportunity, and if barring everyone stays healthy, I think people are going to be pleasantly surprised with what they can do this year.
Nice. A little bit of optimism there. Mark Mathot on the phone on Leafs Lunch. I'm Julia Teixeira. We've got Al's brother, Mike DiStefano, with us too. Mark, do you think, I know they're a younger team, and you just said the Leafs are a little bit more light years ahead, but do you think there's a chance that maybe people are taking the Sens a little bit too lightly? Like, they had a really bad start to last year, which I'm sure anyone in that locker room would say. Matt Murray looked bad to start. But then that stretch at the end, Murray looked good. The team looked good. Do you think there's a chance that maybe people aren't giving the Sens enough cred here?
Yeah, I think there's two sides to it. It's not just as, it's not clear as day, and it's not black or white, right? I think in this case, there's a lot to look forward to, I suppose, if you want to put it that way, over the next couple of years. But they're still behind a little bit. They're still pretty thin on that back end. They're waiting for another big prospect in Jake Sanderson to come up. They've got Jacob Bernard-Docker, another defenseman who played at the World Championships for Canada. He's not in the lineup right now either. But once that pulls through and you have some of this internal growth come forward over the next season or two, I think you're really going to see a big step forward. I think organizationally, they want at least a little bit of progression this year. But I also think on the flip side to all that is now that it's wide open and you're not in this North Division anymore, in this bubble, an 82-game year with a lot of the young players that we have here in Ottawa, it might be a bit of an eye-opener. And again, with the wide-open Atlantic, I think it's going to be sobering for some of these teams that had high expectations coming in from last year. So it's anybody's game. I have them on the fringe this year getting into that postseason. I do think it's a long shot, but it's entirely possible. And again, goaltending is going to be a big thing that I think Toronto can expose tonight, depending on how Anton Forsberg plays and getting onto that defense core that's a little inexperienced to a degree and probably not full of confidence. And obviously no Brady Tkachuk up front. They're right for the picking. But again, I'm not going to write off my team. This is a team that I deeply follow and admire, and I'm hoping that they can put on at least a good show tonight and maybe squeak out a win.
Yeah, so success this season kind of seems like it's all about the development of these young guys. It's safe to say that Stutzel's fully arrived in the NHL. Safe to say Tkachuk has. But they've got this whole slew of like 99, 98, even 97, 2000-born guys who are right on the fringe, right? Which one of those guys are you really looking to take a big next step this season?
That's a good question. I think right now, like, there's a lot of players. There's Shane Pinto on that second line. He's incredibly young out of UND, and he had a really good finish. He played about 15 games, I believe, last year at the end of the season. Looked really good. But my eye right now isn't on Josh Norris or Drake Batherson. Those two guys on that top line are very good players. I think Tim Stützle probably is a guy that I'll be focusing in a little bit more on, only because he's a left winger that's been used to playing on that second line. They got him up on the front, on the first right now, replacing Brady, which potentially could be out for the next 2 weeks. But with Tim Stützle, like any other superstar player that comes into the league, they always battle this infamous sophomore jinx. And we see it all the time. And, we've had these conversations over the summer about it and how, you know, internal leadership is going to be huge with him, and the coaching and managing his minutes is going to be very important. It just seems to bite every player in their second year. And I don't know if it's a comfort thing or just a purely mental thing where you think it's going to come easy to you, but he didn't have a really good training camp. So that's been a bit of a point of contention here in Ottawa with his play. So I'm hoping the regular season we're going to really bring him out again and see how he plays in real high-stakes games. I think that'll be to his advantage, where you'll see his level jump up a little again, and hopefully some of the leadership guys will be able to kind of drag him back into that battle, and he has another strong year.
Well, Mark, it's the Sen season opener tonight. Any special plans for the Wally Mathot show today?
Well, we're going to be airing live. I appreciate you there bringing it up. We're going to be starting around 5:30 tonight, and we're going to be covering both sides, Toronto and Ottawa. And I'll probably crack a couple beers. And,
nice.
I'll see how articulate I can remain over the course of that hour and a half. I might slur on that last half hour. I'm a bit of a lush, so we'll see how it goes.
Are you just going to try and rile up Leaf fans? Is that basically the goal of tonight's podcast?
I want everyone to know that I'm just messing around because, again, I'm not trying to alienate any of the hockey fan base, because I get crap for that a little bit, right? Because it angers a lot of people, and you guys have a lot of very passionate fans over there. So I'm going to try to be a little more fair and balanced tonight, but I can't promise anything.
Yeah, hey, that's why we love you. You speak your mind, and you're always entertaining, Mathot. You're always entertaining guy. Really appreciate you joining the show tonight. Today, enjoy the game tonight, and we'll do this again soon.
Right on, Alf, brother. Julia, thanks for having me.
Thank you so much. That is Mark Mathot, former NHLer and co-host of the Wally and Mathot Show.